What, another episode so soon? Yeah, you guessed it. Episode 52 of the Atari 7800 Homebrew Podcast. Yay! And this is your host, Sean. Yay, I'm back. And we'll see how long it takes me to get episode 53 out. This one took, I think, more than a year. Lots of fun. Why has it been taking so long? Well, a few reasons. For one thing, I have unfortunately hardly been playing any Atari 7800 games over the past year and change, and I'm kind of ashamed of that. Another thing, just had a lot of things going on in my life that I had to balance around, and most recently, that included a job loss and a job gain in a fairly short amount of time. So I had to kind of scramble and put all that together. And also the fact that, well, I now host four podcasts. This one, Pie Factory Podcast, Autobiography of a Schnook, and TuneX Podcast. And believe it or not, probably in the next year, if not sooner, I'll be adding a fifth one. Yeah. Oh, what fun, what fun, what fun. Yeah, my advice to you, don't podcast, because you're going to get addicted to it. You're going to want to keep doing it. Oh, boy. A lot has been going on in the world of the Atari 7800, too. In the time I've been away from this podcast, I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you a partial list of the Atari 7800 homebrew games that have come out since, or have been developed or are in progress. This is just a partial list. Attack of the Petsky Robots, 2048, Popeye, Keystone Coppers, Adventure 3, The Race for the Chalice, Danger Zone, Uzi the Goo Gaiden, Robin Banks, Dragon's Descent, Night Guy in Low Res World, Castle Days, Wizard's Dungeon, Arty, or is it A-R-T-I, 1942, Frogus, Pengo, EXO, or is it EXO, Slide Boy in Mazeland, Uni Wars, Harpy's Curse, Tunnels of Hyperion, Wordle of all things, and Galaxian. There are probably more out there that I just forgot about or am not aware of, but that just shows you, let's see, there's one, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 20, 21, 22. And if you count what I'm going to talk about for next episode, that's 23. So that's almost 2 years worth of games, assuming that I keep on the one episode a month schedule that I eventually settled on and eventually kind of forgot about. So yeah, I'm going to be busy. But as for right now, I'm just going to stop talking about things in general, just get right into the topic for this particular episode, and that is a piece of homebrew hardware called the Dragonfly.
Hey, Miss Dragonfly, I see you look at me with your beautiful eyes.
So, the Dragonfly, what is it? The Dragonfly is a multi-cart. That is, you can load a multitude of different games from it, all stored on a micro SD card. It's for the Atari 7800, and it supports two different formats. It supports the A78 format, that's the binary that includes the header, and it supports the bin format in developer mode. And I'll talk a tiny bit about developer mode later. I don't know much about it myself, because even though I'm a software engineer for a living, I couldn't tell you a darn thing about developing for the 7800, really. The Dragonfly cart supports ROMs that are 4K, 8K, 16K, 32K, and 48K without banking, and 64K, 128K, 144K, 256K, 272K, 512K, 528K, and 1024K with banking. The Dragonfly was made available in two colors, burgundy and, by popular demand, violet. And it's configurable upon ordering. You could choose a color. You could opt for a Pokemax chip and or a Yamaha 2051 module. And dual Poke is possible on the Dragonfly cartridge, but you need the Pokemax in order to do it. Now, something unique about the Dragonfly that sets it apart from other multi-carts that have been available for not only the 7800, but seemingly for most other systems, is that the dragonfly actually requires its own power supply. And the power supply is not included, mainly because there are different electrical standards throughout the world. And seeing that the dragonfly comes from Poland, and many 7800 users are in the United States, there are too many different standards to be involved. Ergo, you're on your own for finding a power supply. It just has to be 9 volts with a minimum of 1.5 amps. The way it works is the power supply that you provide plugs into the cartridge, and there's an included cable that connects the cartridge to the power supply of the Atari 7800. That means you don't have to use the Atari 7800's own power supply to use the Dragonfly. In fact, you can even use both. In fact, when I started using my Dragonfly, I was actually plugging the 9-volt adapter into the Dragonfly, and I was plugging the Atari 7800 adapter into the console, and I was wondering, what the heck is this extra little cable that I have? Turns out I was doing it not as intended, and in fact, there was apparently a potential for the Atari 7800 stabilizer to have a little bit too much pressure on it if you use two different power supplies at the same time. For an additional fee, you could get a small connector cable if your 7800 happened to be modified to have an additional power port. Now, what's this thing look like? Well, it's about a centimeter longer than a standard Atari 7800 or 2600 cartridge. The first roughly 3 centimeters are standard thickness, just like any other cartridge for the 7800 or 2600, but the rest of the cartridge is about 1.5 times thicker than a standard cartridge. That's where all the electronics are. The label has a purple cartoon dragonfly. In the upper right corner of the label are the words Atari 7800 cart, and those words are stacked one on top of the other and right justified. And at the bottom of the cart are the words RJ's Dragonfly, with dragonfly in slightly larger type, and again, this is all right justified. Now, RJ is a Atari Age user from Poland whose handle is RJ1307, and his name is Rafal. I think that's how it's pronounced. Rafal. I apologize if I mispronounce your name. And as I said before, the shell was either purple or burgundy, depending on your choice, and it was 3D printed with a really cool-looking coarse surface. At the end of the cartridge, there's a small LCD screen on the right that serves as the menu, and there are 4 blue menu navigation buttons to the right. In order from left to right, they are Escape, Down, Up, and Enter. On the left side of the cartridge, you have a micro USB port, which is really there specifically for developers. Again, I cannot speak from experience, but apparently it's easier for developers to test their games through that USB port rather than transferring their games to the micro SD card and loading it off the micro SD card. In fact, that's how you load games onto it. You simply drag and drop the ROM files onto the card and you select it from the menu. The menu is on the cartridge itself. On the right side of the cartridge, there's a console output socket, which is where you connect the little cable from the cartridge to the Atari 7800 power input. There's an input socket for the power supply you need to get separately, and there's a power switch. If you unscrew the 4 Phillips head screws and open the cartridge, you'll see a motherboard with these features. There's a socket for a Pokey or Pokey compatible chip. There's a Yamaha YM2151 module connector, and at the bottom of the board, you have volume controls for the Pokey, the second Pokey should you opt for a dual Pokey, and Yamaha. So that's the basic description of the Dragonfly cartridge. Let's get into how to actually work the thing. Basic operation of this cartridge is pretty easy. Like I mentioned before, to get the ROMs onto the cartridge, you just simply take the micro SD card and you drag and drop Atari 7800 ROMs over to the card. You can even arrange them in folders and subfolders. The cartridge is only Atari 7800 compatible. It does not work with 2600 ROMs. Nor does it work in an Atari 2600 with Atari 2600 ROMs. But many potential users said, why bother? We already have the Uno cart and the Harmony cart. Why go out of your way to just to add 2600 support just for people who don't want to change their cartridge ever? And Rafal agreed with that. Of course, you need to plug that microSD card into the Dragonfly cartridge itself, but before you power on the 7800, you choose the game. In fact, that's why you need a separate power supply for the actual cartridge itself. The menu is on the little tiny LCD screen, and you scroll through the games and the folders, and you choose what you want, and there you have it. The game loads into the cartridge's memory, and then you power on the 7800, and you play. It's a little bit more complicated than that for certain situations, though, and I'll give you a little heads up on that. In the menu, you can adjust certain settings. You can set up the Pokey if there is a Pokey installed. There are some IRQ settings that you can tweak. IRQ meaning interrupt request, and that's about all I can tell you about IRQs. I remember that from my days in college studying computer science, but for certain situations, you may need to tweak that. There's a setup option for dual Pokey. If you have a Pokey Max, there's a dual Pokey setup option on the menu. There's also a Kovox setup on the menu, and that's only if you have the Pokey Max. I'm going to be honest, I don't know exactly what that is, and I probably should have done a little bit of research into that. I apologize. But hey, it's been how many months since I did this podcast? I had to get a move on. There are some settings for the Yamaha 2051 module as well with the IRQ. There's an option to enable, disable, or force extra RAM. Some games use it, some don't. Case in point, I found this out the hard way. Pac-Man XM from Bob DiCrescenzo. His XM games, you got to enable the RAM for the Yamaha sound to work. I do believe that the latest revision of the Dragonfly firmware took that out, though. It took that option out and now auto detects whether or not it's needed. But I'll talk about that in a little bitty bit. The menu also shows you your cartridge's serial number. You can toggle the LCD backlight and contrast. There's an option to display the name coming from the ROM file's header. Another menu option is to see the software version that you have installed. There's a serial baud rate setting for developer mode from 38,400 all the way up to 230,400. You can toggle auto versus manual for the header in developer mode. And for developer mode, you can toggle auto or manual for header. Another cool thing about the LCD is that you can actually display some of the parameters that come in from the header. Like you can detect whether or not the XM module would be active. It can tell you what joysticks are plugged in. It can tell you how big the ROM actually is and whether you're running from PAL or NTSC. And really, in terms of operating the cartridge, that's all that I can say. It's not really that complicated. The only thing you got to know is that for certain circumstances, and I think it's mainly for certain homebrew titles, you may have to go into the settings and do a few tweaks, especially with those IRQs. Also, there have been some reports of different little quirks because, as many Atari 7800 fans know, from one console to another, there could be a little bit of operational difference, and that's always been kind of the bane of many a homebrew Atari 7800 developer, both hardware and software. So what you can do is search the Dragonfly thread on atariage.com, or again, just tweak the different settings. Tweak the RAM if it's still available on your software version. Tweak the IRQ settings. But now that I said all that, something that I historically like to do, and yes, I use that word intentionally, historically, I like to delve into the history of how these homebrews actually started out and came to life, and that's what I want to do right now. The history of the Dragonfly begins on August 15th, 2020, when Rafal, aka RJ1307, first introduced the Dragonfly. At this point, the cartridge consisted of a bare board with an LCD screen and four red buttons on the end that, of course, eventually became blue. The Dragonfly at this point supported 4K, 8K, 16K, 32K, and 48K without banking, and 64K, 128K, 256K, and 512K with banking. There was 16K RAM for address location 4000 and Pokey for 4000 and 0450. People who are a little bit more low-level developers might understand that, because I sure don't. All I know is their memory locations. The cartridge would also be compatible with Absolute games and Activision games. We know that those are sometimes a little bit of a trick for some models of the 7800 to use. Rafal included pictures of the Dragonfly in action playing games such as Rescue on Fractalus, Bentley Bear's Crystal Quest, Donkey Kong XM, and Double Dragon, among others. However, the Dragonfly would not support the high score cartridge, and the price was not yet available. While there was no shell for the cartridge yet, the plan was that it would be designed and printed on a 3D printer. Also, the shell would not have any holes in it for screws, but instead would be removable via hooks. Of course, by the time the cartridge eventually reached customers such as myself, that was changed. As I already mentioned, there are now Phillips head screws in it. In response to the question as to whether an on-screen menu would be added as an alternative to loading the game via pushing buttons on the cart itself, Rafal said that the reason that that option was not available was simply because he didn't know how to program it, and rather than having to rely on somebody else to develop it, he wanted to keep all of the Dragonfly development to himself using the knowledge he already had. On August 30th, Rafal announced that he had successfully tested the Dragonfly with the new Pokey Max chip, and he posted sounds from a Pokey and from a Pokey Max for comparison. So far, all the testing had been done on a PAL-based Atari 7800, given again that Rafal is in Poland, but he would soon be getting an NTSC console, and therefore would be testing further on that, especially games with unusual banking schemes. 2 days later, Rafal posted pictures of said NTSC testing, including pictures of the Dragonfly running Impossible Mission, Robotron 2084, Rampage, Draker Quest 2, Klax, and a few others. There was also some discussion as to how to work with a dual Pokey setup. On October 9th, Rafal posted a picture of a redesigned Dragonfly board, but due to a minor error, fixed by soldering some cables to the board, it would need another redesign. And yes, I said soldering, even though I'm American and we usually say solder, but nowhere else in the world do they say solder, they say solder. There's an L in there, folks. Then again, my name doesn't have an H in it, yet somehow it's pronounced Sean. Anyway, he also mentioned that the Dragonfly would support the Yamaha YM2151 sound module, and he posted video of the Dragonfly running XMYM Tracker, which is a music player for said module, and it also showed the Dragonfly running at Bob DiCrescenzo's XM-enhanced version of Ms. Pac-Man. Also included in the post was a picture of the newly designed four-piece cartridge shell in burgundy, a picture of the power connector, and a picture of the Dragonfly in the burgundy shell running Donkey Kong XM. According to Rafal, there would be no power supply actually included due to different power standards. Now, somebody had asked about the possibility of making a shell available in purple, so Rafal showed a shade of violet he could use in his 3D printer, which was set up to use a Fiberlogy... Fiberlogy? Well, a filament made by that company that starts with fiber and ends in logy, let's just say. And he also wanted to keep the color options very limited, basically due to the way that the printer was set up and how it took 6.5 hours to get everything running. And he specifically warned that black would not be a wise option. He said it would look quite ugly. On November 17th, Rafal announced that work on the final version was almost done and that the first completed cartridge would go to Gambler172. You might remember me mentioning Walter before. He's done a couple of 7800 homebrews. He would be testing the cartridge because he had 13 different Atari 7800 consoles. At this point, the Dragonfly now had volume controls for the Pokey and Yamaha modules, and it supported 1 megabyte files at this point, and that was evidenced by a video of a Dragonfly playing a 1 megabyte demo that featured a digital recording of Relax by Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Also included in the post were pictures of the latest revision of the board. Flashing a little bit ahead to November 27th through the 30th, Gambler 172 periodically updated how his testing was going, and so far it was going very well. He had tested the Dragonfly successfully on 12 out of 13 different consoles, and all the tests were finished on December 3rd. Unfortunately, though, on that same day, Rafal posted about how there was a minor issue with the USB functionality, but he had already made a fix for it. By this time, his 3D printer had been printing casings 12 hours a day, cranking out shells that were waiting for completed Dragonfly PCBs. On December 6th, Rafal posted pictures of both the burgundy and violet versions of the completed Dragonfly cartridge, as well as works-in-progress versions of the menu and developer mode sections of the manual. And again, I'm not even going to pretend to understand developer mode, but the PDF that Rafal posted, it gave details on how to use developer mode with Terminal by, I think his handle is pronounced Bray++, and RealTerm, those were Windows terminal programs, and it also included instructions on how to use the cartridge with CleverTerm for Linux. Now, because the USB was pretty standard, it should be compatible with the Mac OS as well, but there weren't any instructions for terminals on the Mac to use. Nonetheless, he also posted a work-in-progress version of the instructions for loading files from the Dragonfly to the 7800 itself. The menu instructions at that point were also discussing how to configure different settings in the cart, such as the extra RAM and LCD backlight, is kind of what I talked about before. The next day, Rafal started a pre-order list with my name being 18th on the list, out of eventually 248. Rafal basically said, okay, wait for my message that I'll send out when the cartridge is ready to ship. That message is going to ask you what color you want, what configuration you want, that is Pokey, Yamaha, both, whatever. And also give me your address and I'll send you payment instructions as well. On December 18th, version 1.03 of the Dragonfly software was posted. There were some minor cosmetic fixes, but beside that there were some functional enhancements, such as doubling the maximum data transfer speed in developer mode, contrast adjustment for the LCD, and the ability to keep the Atari 7800 turned on when loading a new game in developer mode. 10 days later, version 1.04 of the software was released, and that upgrade included faster loading of games from the microSD card, support for 272KB and 528KB files, and the ability to toggle showing the file name before loading the game into memory. The question, of course, that comes to mind is that something you really want to toggle off? Well, it might be, because toggling it off would increase the speed that the file loads into the console. Also, there was an updated version of the user manual. Now, it did seem to me that a file size for a video game ROM of 272KB or 528KB would be kind of weird, but apparently 7800 BASIC can generate files of those sizes for whatever reason. On January 9th of the new year, Rafal posted the STL files for 3D printing both the cartridge shell and the power plugs, just in case anybody was interested in futzing with them. On the 16th, I got my Dragonfly cartridge, and the next day Rafal posted a couple of music demos using Dual Pokey, provided by Atari Age user Eagle, who also posted some Dual Pokey samples himself. By the way, speaking of Dual Pokey, stereo sound from the Dragonfly cartridge is not really possible unless you know how to hack the hardware and do some fancy tweaking, because even though the Yamaha module can do stereo sound, because of the sound architecture of the 7800, all of the sound chip output had to be folded down from stereo into mono. On the 16th of February, that's right, I say February. There's an R in there, people, it's not February. Anyway, there's a new version of the software posted, a 1.05, and this version makes a slight change to how files are loaded into memory, and it removes the show name option from the menu. Meanwhile, a few users with certain modded consoles reported problems with their 7800's built-in TIA sound. For what it's worth, my console has an AV mod, the usual old-fashioned console. mod, and I never had any issues with the sound, really. Apparently, using that so-called standard composite mod was the culprit, and there was a way to make a small modification to the modification that would solve the problem. I don't quite know how to explain it in an audio podcast, so I will just link to the fix in the show notes at homebrew78.fab4it.com. March 25th, Rafal posted a correction for the incorrect Covox addresses in the manual, and on the 30th, he put out a call for somebody to convert a graphic of the Dragonfly's sticker to a format that could be displayed on the Dragonfly startup screen. The next day, Atari Age user Muddy Funster of Muddy Vision came up with a couple of possibilities by converting an existing ping file, but Rafal said that the graphic needs to be built from scratch. April 2nd, Rafal posted version 1.06 of the Dragonfly software, and among the features were the option to turn off the LCD backlight, header bit support for dual Pokey and the Yamaha module, adjustable delay to restart the console to kind of account for the short loading times that some games have, and removal of the force RAM option, among other things. He also posted an updated version of the manual. On April 11th, version 1.06a of the Dragonfly software was posted. This was a minor update that only affected the LCD's backlight, which now would turn on automatically when the 7800 console would power down. There was also a hardware update, by the way. I believe the assumption was that the hardware update would be done with all future Dragonfly cartridges, but also people who already had Dragonflies could make the adjustment provided the serial number was not 112 or 136 or higher. The hardware update would reset the Yamaha module when changing games. Apparently, there was a problem in that if you were using the Yamaha module and you changed games with the 7800 power still on, there'd be a stray note from the Yamaha module that would keep playing when you loaded the next game. The fix that Rafal posted would do away with that problem. It involved connecting a couple of traces on the PCB, I believe, with a couple of wires. April 20th, Dragonfly software version 1.07 was released, and this version introduced an on-screen startup logo along with the ability to disable it. The logo screen would also tell you the console's voltage. However, there was a problem. The startup logo actually only worked on PAL consoles, so the next day Rafal posted a fix for NTSC machines. On May 28th, Rafal announced that the price for the Pokey Max had quadrupled due to problems that the maker of that chip was having buying the Altera components for it. At this point, Rafal only had enough Pokey Maxes for 20 more Dragonfly cartridges. And after those were gone, the only options for the Dragonfly cartridge would be just the basic cartridge without any additional sound modules, or the Dragonfly with the Yamaha module. On January 2nd of 2022, things were looking pretty grim. Pokemax modules were still unavailable, probably because of that supply chain problem, and there was a shortage of LCD screens. Rafal entertained the idea of using different LCD screens, but regardless, the cost of the electronics that was used in the making of the Dragonfly increased by 30 to 60%. Which in turn would cause the Dragonfly to also increase significantly in price. And unless things would improve, Rafal had no plans of continuing production on the Dragonfly, unfortunately. On top of that, Rafal had been through a lot of personal crises that I'm not going to repeat here. If you want to know what he was going through, it's in the thread on Atari Age. But regardless, he needed a little bit of a break. On February 21st, Rafal announced that the last six Dragonfly cartridges, three burgundy, three purple, all with the Yamaha module, were available for $125 plus shipping. On August 21st, Rafal posted version 1.08 of the software, specifically for the AVR and the CPLD programs. He specifically said that if you have not updated the CPLD, to not update AVR. I Gotta confess, friends, I do not know what the AVR and the CPLD are. Even after reading the description of what AVR and CPLD are, even with the context, I couldn't tell you what those are for. So I'm not going to bother to try to fake it. But I got to tell you, there was a lot of technical discussion over the development of the Dragonfly that went way over my head. But as of August 21st of this year, those of you listening in the future, that's 2022, that was the last that we heard on the Dragonfly.
Dragonfly, fly by my window.
So that's the history of the Dragonfly. Usually I would cover some feedback about the topic that I was going to be covering. Unfortunately, either I didn't get any or I lost them over the past year and a half or so, and I apologize. I looked back on Atari Age where the original feedback request was posted and I could not find it. Either it was deleted for some reason, I don't think it was, or I just couldn't find it, or I never posted it in the first place. But regardless, I have not heard one bad thing about the Dragonfly. What I can tell you is that I really like it a lot. It's a great product. Unfortunately, you cannot get one now. Hopefully that will change in the future if things get better with supply chain issues and whatever else have you. But for now, it's not available. You might be able to find one secondhand. The only issue that I have with it really is that it doesn't support long file names. It really, if you're just getting the name of the game from the file, it has to be within the classic MS-DOS 8.3 format, or else it's going to kind of overflow the way Windows 95 did back in the day. So if you have many different versions of, say, Pac-Man Collection, they're all going to say, like, PACMA tilde 1, tilde 2, etc. So that's going to be a little bit confusing, but that is the only fault I have with this. Other than that, the product is great. I can go over, say, a comparison between the Dragonfly and the Concerto. For one thing, the Concerto does not need a power supply. The Dragonfly does. Dragonfly, the menu is the LCD on the cartridge, while on the Concerto, it's an on-screen menu. Dragonfly is compatible only with Atari 7800 ROMs, while the Concerto is compatible with both the 7800 and 2600 ROMs. Personally, I didn't really care one way or the other. I have a Harmony cart, so whatever. For the add-on sound options, both cartridges support Pokey, but only the Dragonfly supports Yamaha and dual Pokey. Dragonfly has a micro SD slot, while the Concerto has an SD slot. Both cartridges have micro USB connectivity. The Dragonfly was available in burgundy and violet, while the Concerto was available only in black. But again, if you don't have an Atari 7800 multi-cart and you want one, and you happen to see a aftermarket Dragonfly for a reasonable price, I think mine cost $150. I don't really remember. Grab it. You'll be happy you did. Also, there are different adapter options you can use. Again, you just have to make sure that it fits within those 1.5 amps, or is it milliamps? Well, it's in the manual, and it has to be 9 volt. I will link a few different adapters that people have used in the show notes, including the one that I bought. And the show notes page is homebrew78.fab4it.com. Fab4it is spelled F-A-B and then the number 4 and then it.com. And I might as well bring the episode to a close right now. Thank you for listening. And of course, thanks to Rafael for making this wonderful Dragonfly cartridge. Given the number of homebrew games that are in development or already out for the 7800, I probably should resume my habit of purchasing a new homebrew every month to support these developers. And I ask all of you, support the homebrew developers. They really need it, and they keep our beloved Atari 7800 alive. Coming up next, I'm going to keep the dragon theme going, and I'm going to talk about a homebrew game called Dragon's Cash. That's available through the Atari Age store. And I'd love to hear what you think about it if you have it. My email address is homebrew78@fab4it.com. In the meantime, if you're really dying to hear my voice, you have a few other options before the next episode comes out. There's Pie Factory Podcast, in which my friend Jim and I talk about two classic arcade video games. Sometimes we change up the subject a little bit just to add a little bit of spicy variety. There's also Autobiography of a Schnook, which is basically just me kind of using a podcast as self-therapy, I guess. And there's TuneX Podcast, which is kind of a niche thing. If you're a Beach Boys fan, check it out. My wife and I co-host that. Just to give you an idea how deep we go, there's an album the Beach Boys put out in 1977 called The Beach Boys Love You. We got together with a friend of ours, and the three of us discussed that album as if the Muppets had recorded it. So if you have the slightest interest in the Beach Boys, check it out. And that's about it. Hopefully I won't wait another year plus to talk to you again. Hopefully it'll be much sooner. Of course, with the holidays coming up, it might be kind of busy for me, but can't wait to talk to you all again. And can't wait to play some more 7800 games. Bye.